The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Open your Bible this morning, if you would, to Psalm 103, the 103rd Psalm. We'll not deal with the whole psalm, but I'm interested in dealing with the first five verses of it. Very appropriate text for the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is primarily an American holiday. They do have one in Canada and a couple of other countries in the world. But it was started in America, and they just picked it up and practiced it for very good reasons. You know, they debated on that first anniversary whether they should have a day of mourning or a day of Thanksgiving. Mourning for the half of their number that lay in unmarked graves on a hillside, unmarked so the Indians wouldn't know how few remained. Some said, we need a day of mourning. Others said, we need a day of Thanksgiving. God has seen us through a horrible winter, and now we need to give him thanks and praise for it. So an appropriate text here, Psalm 103, it's a psalm of David, the superscription says. Bless the Lord, and I'll point out again, in your Bible, when the word Lord is in all capitals, it's the personal name of God, Yahweh. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Father, help us to see things with spiritual, spirit-fed, spirit-led, spirit-enlightened eyes today that we've never seen in this psalm. And may it turn our hearts toward praise and thanksgiving to you. It's my prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. A chamber of commerce in a small city planned a banquet for city officials. They invited them all and invited members of the community to come as well. And they asked a local pastor if he would ask the blessing for the meal. Well, the master of ceremonies forgot and just said, you know, your food is being served. Just go ahead and eat when he gets here. And he was embarrassed, of course, that he had forgotten the blessing. But he asked the pastor if he would pray anyway. And the pastor graciously agreed. He stood up and these were the words he said. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. They had already eaten. Come on now. I got to go around and wake y'all up for this message today. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, because they had already eaten. Well, for 3,000 years, God's people have recited these beautiful lines of the 103rd Psalm. But I dare say many of us have never thought at all about how a man can bless God. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, bless the Lord. How does a man bless God? We know how God blessed David, but how can David bless God? And David answered that question in the very next phrase. Let me start over. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. David blessed God by remembering how good God had been to him. By remembering the benefits God had showered on him. And I think it led him to thanksgiving, as we shall see shortly. God blessed David with gifts. David blessed God with gratitude. God blessed David with things. David blessed God with thanks. Now, let me make clear that thanks that blesses God must be wholehearted. Did you hear that again? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. We cannot properly bless God, who is the giver of all good things, without giving all thanks from within. You know, it's just not It doesn't fit. It doesn't match up. It's not sufficient. It's not good unless it's wholehearted, all that is within me. Not only must thanks that blesses God be wholehearted, it must be specific. And so David listed here in this psalm some very specific things, some blessings that he counted, for which he returned thanks and gratitude toward God. And I would challenge you for this Thanksgiving to join King David in these specifics and thank God for the very things that David thanked God for. So let's just run the list here for a few moments this morning, if you would. Keep your Bible open, because we'll be skipping from one thing to another down this list that David provided from long ago days. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 3, what benefit? He forgives your iniquity. Listen, David, good king that he was, needed forgiveness badly. Dirty black sin stained David's past. You remember Bathsheba Gate? We could call it that, couldn't we? After Watergate and all the other gates that have taken place in the political realm in our country in recent days, David had his Bathsheba Gate, a pretty young thing that was on a rooftop near his palace one evening, topless and bottomless, caught his eye. And he sent for her. Her husband had been deployed. He was on the battlefront with the troops that had gone out to war. And so he sent for her. She came, spent the night with him. And then a few days, weeks later, she sent message that she was pregnant. It couldn't have been her husband. He wasn't home. And so David connived then to, he contrived a plan to have her husband put in a very vulnerable position in the battle that was raging, and he was sure that he would be killed in that position. Adultery, murder, and then deceit, because he married Bathsheba, for that was her name, and brought her into the palace as his wife and raised the child who turned out to be, well, that child died, but another child by Bathsheba became King Solomon that followed David upon his death. But that was an ugly, black stain on David's life. And I'm sure David's cheeks burned with shame and his heart quailed within him, because he didn't want anybody to know what he had done. He didn't want people to know how guilty he was. He hoped no one ever found out about it. He couldn't fix it. There's no way to undo what he had done. He couldn't offer a sacrifice to have it wiped away, because you need to hear this. In the Old Testament sacrificial system, there was no sacrifice for deliberate sin. If you knew better and did it anyhow, that's called a sin of the high hand, a sin of rebellion against God. There was no sacrifice for deliberate sin. All David's sins had been deliberate. When Nathan walked in and pointed a finger of accusation in David's face and said, "You are the man," David's heart must have broken within him, and he wept his way back to God. He couldn't fix what he had done. He couldn't forget what he had done. All he could do was beg God to forgive him, and God graciously and generously forgave him. Is it any wonder that David said, "Bless the Lord, forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your sins." Now, I speak for myself today, but I think I speak for many of you as well when I say my greatest need is forgiveness from God. There are few things I need more than the forgiveness from God. In fact, I can't think of anything I need more than that. Other things I need, that's the greatest one. And it probably, if I may speak clearly, is probably your greatest need as well. You see, the Bible says here that God forgives all your iniquities. He forgives all your iniquities, not some or many or most. He forgives all of them. There's no sin that God cannot or will not forgive. Now, the Bible is very explicit about this. The Bible promises, records God's word. He said, "I will remove your sin from you as far as the east is from the west." Now, We can measure from north to south. You go to the North Pole and walk south, if you could do that, to get to the South Pole, it would take you 12,430 miles. You can measure that distance. We know what it is. You can walk from north to south, 12,430 miles, then you start walking back north again. We know how far it is from north to south, but tell me how to measure how far it is from east to west. How far can you go east? Get in an airplane, get in a spaceship or whatever you want to fly in, and start out east. How far can you go east? You can go an infinite number of times around this world headed east. You cannot measure how far the east is from the west. God has said, I'll remove your sin from you as far as the east is from the west. He said, I'll cast it into the depths of the deepest sea. The deepest part of the ocean is what's called the Challenger Deep in the Pacific near the island of Guam. That sucker is nearly 7 miles to the bottom, 7 miles of ocean water to get to the bottom of that part of the Mariana Trench. God said, I'll cast your sin in the depths of the deepest sea. You know, we've only recently been able to send something down that far. Otherwise, the pressure crushes it. The pressure of the water is so great, it just crushes it. And just recently has that been, have we been able to get that far down into the ocean. But God said, I'll throw it into the depths. That's the depths of the sea, folks. God has promised to take your sin and remove it from you as far as the east is from the west, to cast it into the depths of the sea. And he says, furthermore, I will remember it no more. So if you ever brought that sin back to God, he'd say, what's that you're talking about? I'll remember it no more. I put it out of my memory. I don't even know what you're talking about. There's no need to confess a sin twice even to God. You confess it, he forgives it, and forgets it. And it's foolish for us to remember what God forgets. We need forgiveness. And we need to thank God for forgiving. I love the line of that song that says, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Isn't that wonderful? That's marvelous. This Thanksgiving, could I ask you to, when you count your blessings, to thank God for forgiving. You ought to put that first on your list. Thank God for forgiving. But there's a second thing here in this psalm. David thanked God for healing, something for which you should thank God as well. Do you see this? This is not a promise in the same verse, verse 3, who heals all your diseases. Not a promise of perpetual healing, so that David said, every time I got sick, God healed me, and I could just live forever and forever and forever, because no disease can take my life from me. No accident can take my life from me. It's not a promise of perpetual healing, so David would never die. What David thanked God for was healing. Whenever and wherever there was healing in David's experience, God did it. And so he thanked God for doing it. I've had people ask me before if I believe in faith healing. Can I tell you? No! Some of the people that I know who had the greatest faith were not healed. Some people with the greatest faith died. But if you ask me if I believe in divine healing, my answer is absolutely yes. Faith healing? Not my faith that counts. Divine healing? Yes. David's point is, if I could put it simply, David's point is simple, that whenever and wherever there is healing, it comes from God. God does the healing. There is no other kind than divine healing. No healing that doesn't come from God. Now, I would be the first to say to you that God usually, or often, uses doctors and medicine and hospitals for healing. God may heal without doctors and medicine and hospitals. And I'd be so bold as to say there's some people whom God healed in spite of doctors and medicine and hospitals. But the point is simple and clear that it's always and only God who heals. It was a French doctor about 400 years ago who said, I bind the wounds, but God does the healing. God heals. Whenever, wherever there is healing, it comes from God. So you need to be thankful. I need to be thankful that when a cold robbed me of rest, or a migraine robbed me of peace, or an infection robbed me of health, or an injury left me with broken bones, God touched my body and healed me. God did that. And I'm talking to people sitting in this congregation today who could have died from flu. Flu can kill you. Complications from flu can kill you. You could have died from a heart attack. Some of you have had heart attacks and you could have died. You could have died from cancer. So you've been diagnosed with cancer. You could have died from dengue fever. I was in Nicaragua once. That used to be a deadly disease along the coastal area of the United States, dengue fever. I got dengue in Nicaragua. I could have died from it. It's a bleeding disease. It thins your blood so much, you bleed out your eyes and ears and all your orifices. You bleed to death. You could have died from malaria or COVID. I had COVID in January. Some of you have had COVID. You could have died from that. But God touched you and healed you. And you're alive today from those or thousands of other medical complications. You're alive today despite those because God healed you. Doctors may have given you medicine. Hospitals may have provided you care. Medicine may have given you some relief, but God provided all of those. You are alive today, despite your diseases, because God healed you. One reason only, God healed. And kind of remind you that you shouldn't limit that to physical healing alone. God heals minds and souls. Some years ago now, around this time of year, I was in San Francisco with a study group. We were looking at how churches there were able to get into gated communities and guarded apartments and so on. They were 30 years ahead of what's happening, what has happened now in the central part of the United States. We were looking at that, and I happened to be in a Catholic charismatic prayer meeting on purpose. Wanted to see what was going on there. Went to that on the campus the University of San Francisco. And I heard a woman tell. She stood to give a testimony. She told of how God had healed her of shame. I never thought of that. She said, I was born into poverty. Never knew who my father was. My mother struggled just to make ends meet. She said, I was born into poverty. I lived poor. And she said, I always was ashamed because of where I lived and the fact that we never had what I thought everybody else had. And I was ashamed. But she said, God healed me of shame. And I heard others stand in that meeting and tell how God healed them of anger, or God healed them from depression, or God healed them from hatred. Listen, healing is not just a physical disease. It can be a mental or spiritual disease as well. But whenever and wherever there has been healing, God did it. So this Thanksgiving, when you count your blessings, thank God for the healing that you've experienced. Look into the next verse. He redeems your life from the pit, says verse 4, first part of it. He redeems your life from the pit. The pit was the place of death and destruction, and God redeemed David by keeping him from it. If I could put this into one sentence, what God did for David was to rescue him from premature death. God rescued David from dying prematurely. He saved his life. On many occasions, he saved David's life. David was a child of providence. You read the record, and David had cliffhangers and narrow escapes without number, by the dozens. But he seemed to live a charmed life. From the jaw of the lion and the paw of the bear, from the sword of Goliath and the javelin of Saul, from the armies of Absalom and the forces of the Philistines, God delivered David time and time and time and time again. God delivered David. No wonder the king sang a song of thanks to God. I want to thank you for delivering me. Could I extend that? Every person alive is a child of providence. If you're living and breathing today, you're a child of providence. God has saved you from death many, many times. You lead a charmed life. You're a walking miracle. Just as an example, I'll give you one. I can multiply them by dozens. Think of all the miles you travel by car. I'll give you a minute just to realize you don't know how many miles you've traveled by car in your lifetime. But think about how many. And yet you've never had a fatal accident. Every day, thousands of people die on the highways. Many die on the highways of Texas, Louisiana, Florida, the whole country. Thousands of people die from car accidents, but you have been protected. God did that. He put up a wall of protection around you, and that's why you're living and why you're breathing today, because God protected you. No wonder David sang a song of thanks, and no wonder you should sing a song of thanks. When I was about 5 years old, we lived across the street from a family they had children about the age of our children. We all became fast friends, played together virtually all the time. My parents sent me to the back porch to a number 3 wash tub. We had 4 rooms and a bath, but the only thing in the bath was a tub. We didn't have running water in that house. Had to go out in the yard and pump it up out of the ground with a hand pump. And they put me in a number 3, or sent me to the back porch to a number 3 wash tub to get a bath. Well, I had different ideas. I thought I wanted to go across the street, US 84. Across the street to my friend's house and swing. They had a nice tire swing on an oak tree right out just across the ditch from the highway. So I sneaked out around the house and out through the front gate across the street. I was having a high old time swinging in that swing. I was having a blast. And all of a sudden, there burst into my consciousness the voice of my mother and father, who were in the back of the house calling my name. And I thought to myself, you had best get home in a hurry. So I bailed out of the swing. Went up, I bailed out. There was a short culvert right across that ditch. I ran across that culvert into the street, and I heard this car horn blow. I mean, they sat down on it. It was close. I looked, and that was the biggest, blackest car I've ever seen coming in the lane I had just stepped into. When I saw that car, froze and just fell right there in the street. The car, I mean, the brakes squalled. The car came to a stop with a front tire about 6 inches from my head. I made it here today about 6 inches. And I can't tell you how many more times in my life God protected me. He delivered me. He redeemed me from the pit. Now, that's one instance in my life. I have no idea how many times God protected me from death in my life. I have no idea, never know till I get to heaven, how many times he protected me. And you will never know till you get to heaven how often God stepped in and protected you from what could have and should have taken your life. This Thanksgiving, when you count your blessings, thank God for protecting you. Well, let's get these others done. In verse 4, the second part of it, part B, David thanked God for crowning him with steadfast love and mercy. I like that word crown. In the Hebrew text, the word, the Hebrew root, it comes from a triliteral root, three letters, that means to circle, to surround, to hem in. So that when someone is crowned, they are surrounded, they're encompassed. And God crowns us, so he said. He surrounds us. He hems us in on every side with love and mercy. Steadfast love, not love that wanes, waxes and wanes, but steadfast love and mercy. The old gospel singers used to sing about being within the circle of his love. How many of you remember within the circle of his love? Do you remember that? I see a few hands. Within the circle of his love. That's the crown. He crowns us with love. He encircles us with love. Contemporary musicians sometimes sing of ringing our lives with so much love. He rings my life with so much love. He surrounds me. He hems me in. He encircles my life. No wonder David praised God and blessed God with thanksgiving. And you should too, because you are hemmed in on every side. There's no way you can turn without meeting the love of God. You can't go backwards and forwards. You can't move left or right. You're within the circle of his love. I read a story once about a farmer who mounted a new weather vane on his barn. And on the weather vane, he had painted the words, God is love. One of his neighbors, who didn't go in much for this religious kind of stuff, asked him, he said, what do you mean? You mean God's love is as changeable as the wind is? The farmer said, oh, no, not at all. What that means is, no matter which way the wind blows, God is love. Think about that. If the wind blows fair, God is love. If the wind blows foul, God is love. If the wind don't blow at all, God is love. He has hemmed you in and encircled you with love so you can't get away from it. It's steadfast love. You can count on it. It's filled with mercy. This Thanksgiving, when you count your blessings, give God thanks for loving. Satisfying in verse 5, the first part of verse 5. He satisfies you with good. That's the literal Hebrew text. That comes right from the Hebrew. He satisfies you with good. Now, David may have meant that God provided food for him. And that's good ground for giving thanks, isn't it? Some folks this Thanksgiving will have no food. I suspect that doesn't apply to anybody here. That's ground. We thank God for daily bread. For providing food, but I think there are desires that groceries and things cannot satisfy. I think that's what David is talking about here. He satisfies me with good. He wasn't talking about his tummy. He was talking about his heart, his life. God meets my deepest desires with good. It was a great Christian Augustine who said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts find no rest till they rest in thee." There is a God-shaped vacuum, a blank within the heart and soul of every human being that can be filled only by God. You can't stack enough gold in there to fill that longing. You can't put enough groceries in there to fill that desire. You can't own enough to meet that need. It's a desire for God. And God, when we desire him, fills us full. We are satisfied. To be satisfied, to be so full, you don't need anything else. I anticipate that at this Thanksgiving, you probably go fill up at a Thanksgiving dinner. You know, there's turkey and dressing. and there's a green bean casserole, and there's candied yams, and I don't know. You fill it all in. English peas, carrots. Go on and on. Butter beans. I hope, you know, rolls. And then when all that's done, there's pumpkin pie. And, you know, this picture's a guy, to be satisfied as a guy who has eaten all of that and then had seconds. Just can't eat no more. Full, satisfied. It's not with groceries David's talking about. God filled him up so that he needed nothing else. He met the deepest needs and the longings of David's heart, satisfied him, so full he needed nothing else. This Thanksgiving, when you count your blessings, thank God for satisfying. And then here's the last one on his list. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. David thanked God for strengthening him. When his vigor failed and his strength was almost gone, God gave David new vitality, a buoyant strength, like an eagle soaring on wings above, a tireless strength to go on going on. I'm talking to people who probably had the same experience I have. Have there not been points in your life when you thought to yourself, man, I can't keep on like this. I just cannot stand any more of this. I am so tired. My strength is almost gone. I've taken my last step. All I can do is throw up my hands and go under. I just can't go further. And God stepped in and gave you new strength so that you mounted up with wings like an eagle. When you count your blessings this Thanksgiving, thank God for strengthening you. In the hour of your greatest need, He gave you a new lease on life. Well, we sang a while ago, praise God from whom all blessings flow. I remind you as I come to a conclusion that this list is not an exhaustive list. This is not all the blessings for which we can give God thanks. It's just a suggestive list. And you can add to it as appropriate. Let's take a little time and think. Only the thinkless are thankless. Think and then thank God. Who's the greatest saint among us? Who's the greatest saint in the world? Some will say, well, it's those who pray most, those who fast most, those who read their Bible most, those who give to others most, those who live the most pure lives. William Law answered that question by saying this. The greatest saint is he who is always thankful to God, who receives everything as an instance of God's goodness and has a heart ready for praise to God for it. So, can I challenge you this Thanksgiving? Join up with God's greatest saints, those who are always thankful, by getting alone with God. Think of all his blessings and then bless him by thanking him. Let's pray. Lord, there's some in the congregation who need forgiveness. In this time of quietness, I ask God that they would confess their sin to you and receive the forgiveness you gladly and generously give us. And then, God, may they rejoice and thank you for forgiveness received. Thank you that yesterday is gone. Thank you their sins have been removed, cast into the depths of the sea, and forgotten by you. Father, there are folks sitting here who should be lying in a cemetery somewhere. I'm among them. There are folks sitting here who've been healed by you. God, stir up our minds and our hearts to give you thanks again for your healing. And God, how many narrow escapes we've had in our lives, none of us really know. But Lord, bring to our minds again at least some of those times and let us thank you. Stir us up to thank you. Thanks for your love, God. We all know that. And for satisfying our deepest desires with good, you yourself. And Lord, for those times when we thought our strength was gone, and you gave new strength from above, let us thank you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.